As we come together on this wonderful Lord's Day to continue to sing praises unto God, have partaken of the Lord's Supper, have had the opportunity to give back as God has allowed us to prosper. We have prayed unto Him. Now we will have His word proclaimed.
Amen.
In the last two or three Sundays, we have been looking at a self-examination to see whether or not we are in the faith. See whether or not we are in the faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves to see whether or not you are in the faith. It is so important that we do examine ourselves. And I ask you from the very beginning of this lesson to clear your mind, empty them out, so that we may be able to go through this examination in a fashion that God will be pleased with. Amen. From the head to the foot, head to feet, however you want to say it. It's important that we do this examination. We looked at and we talked about guarding our hearts, knowing that this is where life comes from. This is where our understanding is. And if we would continue to guard our hearts and be pleasing in the sight of God, He will open up our understanding to His Word as we continue to study it. We found that we must stay focused. We must keep our eyes on the prize. We must keep our eyes away from those things that will corrupt us. The lust of the eyes is a sin. So we have to make sure that we do what is right. We talked about speaking the things that are pure, things that are edifying, things that would uplift people, the things that would tell people that we care about them, we care about where they're going to spend their eternity. The scriptures teach us that we're supposed to stay away from corrupt communication. Listening to that which is good, to the things that will cause us to examine our ways, even again from head to foot. The word of God. The Bible says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what thus said the Lord. It's important that we listen to the word of God. Not only listen, but we do the things in which we hear. It is a sin for a man to be a hearer of the word and not do it. So we must be hearers. Endures as well. This examination continues and we're ready to leave now. We're ready to go back out into the world and we're ready to fight against the forces of this world. This is a spiritual battle. As many of us got up this morning and everyone that's here has done this, we put something on. We did our hair. Yes, I had to get up this morning and do my hair. It don't take me long, but I had to do it. We put on our clothes. I think it was Brother Pack and I talking one Sunday in the back there. Men, how many of you just jumped into your pants? Boom, like Superman. One leg at a time. That's the way we get dressed. Ladies put on their attire. If you would count your garments, generally it's around six garments that you put on. Six garments. I'm just going to deal with the men for a moment here. We put on our underwear, our undershirt, which is two. We put on our other shirt, which is three. We put on our pants, which is four. And we put on our socks, which is five. And we put on our shoes, which is six. I'm not counting the coat, nor the vest, nor the tie. I even left a hat out for some because everybody don't wear hats. But that's six garments, generally. And ladies, if you would do the same, you would find that there are generally six garments that you put on. Some put on more, some put on less. Some need to put on more. Some need to put on less. But it's still generally around 6. So when we look at this spiritual attire that we put on, there are 6 garments that we need to put on. And you will find that as we put these 6 garments on, we need to put them on now. You can't leave the house without them and expect to be successful in your walk with the Lord. There's no way. There are many times where we leave the house and we think, man, I forgot something. What did I forget? I had some people, I put that on the internet, on Facebook. You leave the house and you say you forgot something. You start looking. You say, I have my purse. I have my keys. I have this. I have that. I have my wallet. I'm good to go. But as you go through the day, you say, I forgot something. I don't know what I forgot. You get home and you're like, man, I'm glad this day is over. Nothing went my way today. Everybody was against me. Nothing went right. What happened? You did not put the whole armor of God on.
Amen.
That's what happened. That's what you forgot. And it's easy to do. If you're not in the Word of God, it's easy to forget to put this armor on. And this lesson here is for Christians now. Because this is who the armor of God belongs to. It belongs to Christians. And we talked even last Sunday, how we are supposed to do these things, this examination, in order for us to be strengthened by the Lord. We have to take the right medication in order to be strengthened. The book of Philippians chapter 4 and the verses 13, it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things through Christ who strengthens me. That is where we get our strength from. We get our strength from Christ. We get our strength from God. We get our strength from the Spirit. We get our strength from the Word. We even get strength from one another. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So that's why it's important to go through this examination. That's why we go to the doctor to find out what's wrong with us, and he give us the remedy in order to help us, in order for us to be strengthened. I know Brother Simmons can't wait to have his knee operation, so he's still going to have that cane because he think he's cool. But anyway, so that he can walk a little bit better. That's why Sister Luella had that hip surgery so she could walk a little bit better. That's why Brother Harper had his surgery on his back, and Brother Brown had his surgery on his back, and others that have had surgery in order for them to be better. That's why we need to put the whole armor of God on so that we can be better Christians. Better Christians. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 17. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 17. Once again, as we think about putting on the whole armor of God, Paul, as he wraps up with the church of Ephesus here, he says, finally, I done told you everything that you need to do, but finally, there's something else now. He says, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Without it, we're nothing. We're nothing. Without his strength, without his power and his might, we are nothing. So he says, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's a question that we ask. Why do I have to put this on? Why are you telling me these things? He said, put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the schemes of the devil, that you may be able to stand. Because he's coming at you. You don't know when, you don't know where, you don't know how, but he's coming. So Paul says, put on the whole armor of God. There shouldn't be any questions then. Well, why do I need to do this? Why are you telling me I need to put those things on? So that you may be able to stand. He says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual principalities, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, the devil is slick, isn't he? When you least expect him, there he is. Everything's going your way. Everything's going smooth. All of a sudden, you hit a rough patch in the road, and it's all over. It's all over. He's caught up with you. And as he's catching up with you, now he has you, you're in his grip, in his grasp, and he will not let you go. And you said, how can I get away from him? Stop. Think about what you're doing. Think about what you have done. And think about what you need to do. He says, put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He's coming up against you no matter what. But in order for us to be able to stand, we must put on the whole armor of God. He says in verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness. We're going to go through these things, and we're going to look at some other scriptures dealing with them. So first off, we talk about putting on the whole armor of God. Put on the truth, which serves like a belt. See, we need something to keep all this armor together. Some men need a belt, some men do not. You know, when I leave the house without a belt, I feel naked. It's not that my pants are going to fall down because I try to get them to fit, but I still feel naked. I forgot something. I come here some Sundays, and I have no idea why I do it, but sometimes I forget my belt. Got everything in order. It's right there, and I forget to put it on, and I only live 30 seconds down the road. You know what I do? I go get my belt. Go get my belt. See, we need the truth. It serves like a belt. And if we don't have the truth, what are we going to do? It's the knowledge of God. The truth about God, who he is, and what we can do with this and what we cannot do with it. It serves like a belt. James chapter 8. Actually, I believe that should be John chapter 8, verse 32 through 34. John chapter 8, verse 32 through 34. John chapter 8. Verse 32 through 34. If I don't change this right now, I will not change it. I just want y'all to know that, so bear with me. All right, we find in verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin. Is the servant of sin. All right. The servant of sin. Now, do you want the truth, or do you want someone to lie to you? You want something that's going to be able to allow you to keep everything together, or you want something that's going to allow you to have everything to fall apart? Jesus said, the truth shall make you free. You don't have to worry about being in bondage to sin anymore or entangled with sin any longer because you have the truth. Again, I'm not talking to the non-Christian. I'm talking to the Christian. A non-Christian cannot have the truth without obeying the truth. So we have to obey it first. And then we must live according to the truth of God's word. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12 and the verse is 1. The writer says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Run with patience. So if you have the truth, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, everything is going to stay together. You're not going to let anyone come up against you. You're not going to let anything come up against you. The book of Jude, verse 3, tells us to contend earnestly for the faith. The faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. So we're able to stand when we have the truth. We're able to stand. And there's so many people out there that can't stand, and the reason is because they don't have the truth. Or Christians that are not able to stand is because they don't take with them the truth. They don't keep everything together the way it's supposed to be together because they think they can do it on their own. Again, the strength comes from God. It's the power of his might, or the power in his might, in which we're able to stand. Then we find, of course, the righteousness which God guards like a breastplate. Righteousness which guards like a breastplate. Do we really understand what God wants us to do and how God wants us to do it? And you're going to find as we look at these different things in which we're supposed to put on as spiritual, but there's nothing that he talked about covering the back. Because he wants us to continue to move forward, Soldier in battle. The word retreat is not in his vocabulary. We are soldiers for the cross. We're soldiers for God. We're in God's army and we're moving forward doing the things that are right. Ephesians chapter 6 once again. Ephesians chapter 6 in the verses 14 once again. Stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. You know, many times we forget how we're supposed to act. Or we forget about who we are and who we're in the presence of. See, this is that living that we do, this righteousness that God wants us to have. It's the breastplate of righteousness. Nothing can penetrate through the breastplate of righteousness unless we allow it to. Now we're going to move it to the one side or to the other side, either to the left or to the right, and allow something to come through there. No, let's keep it on where it needs to be. Let's keep defending off the old devil. Let's keep concentrating on God's word and being the people that God wants us to be. Philippians chapter 3 and the verses 9. Philippians chapter 3 and the verses 9. And back up to verse 8. Paul says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now, what type of life are you living? Or are you going back and trying to live a life according to the law? Or are you living a life according to Christ? Many will say, we're living according to Christ. Well, if that's the case, if you're living according to Christ, you put all those foolish things away and you live a life that is pleasing to him. You allow your conduct to be in such a manner that God will say, yes, that is one of my children. He's not going back to try to live like I told anyone else, but he's living like he is supposed to live. He has heard the words of my son, therefore he's living a life of righteousness. Breastplate of righteousness, which guards like a breastplate. You're keeping everything the way it's supposed to. Your mind, you're keeping it right. You're keeping your motives right. You're keeping everything in order. God is very pleased with that. Very pleased with that. Then we find the gospel of peace, which is crucial to our ability to stand. Without it, you cannot stand. Without the gospel of peace, you cannot stand. Verse 15. Verse 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We were talking this morning in class, reference to Isaiah chapter 5 and the verses 26, mentioned about the end sign and God putting up this banner, which is the same, in order for the Assyrian army to come in. And you find that as he said they came, he said the shoes, the latches, they were tight. They were ready to go into battle. They didn't have to worry about, oh man, I need to stop. I need to fix this. I need to do that. That's the way we're supposed to be today. The gospel of peace, which is crucial to our ability to stand, we need to be ready to go into battle. We need to be ready to move, and we don't need anything to hinder us. So therefore, we have the gospel of peace with us, and we need to be ready to go. How many of you are ready to go right now? How many of you, if someone called you and said, hey, I need a Bible study, you say, I'll be right there. I'm ready to teach a class. If someone said, hey, I have this question reference to this, that, and the other concerning salvation, can you give me the answer? How many of us are ready to do that? It's important that we prepare. If we don't prepare, we do not have the gospel of peace. If we do not have this spiritual armor on, we're not going to be able to do anything. Therefore, let us look at what God wants us to do and understand that He wants us to be pleasing to Him. In the book of Romans chapter 1, verses 15 through 17. Romans chapter 1, verses 15 through 17. I like how Paul, how he wrote to the church of Rome here. Because many times we don't feel like Paul felt. Well, we feel as though we're inadequate to preach the gospel to anybody. And the reason we're inadequate is because we don't study the way we're supposed to study. But Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 15, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Amen. Are you ready? Are you eager? Do you understand the importance of going out and teaching the gospel, not just to your neighbor, but to everybody, which is your neighbor? Do you understand that? That this is what God wants us to do? If He didn't want us to do it, He wouldn't have put it in Scripture. He wouldn't have put what Paul said right here. The Spirit wouldn't allow Paul to write this down, talking about he's not ashamed of the gospel. We do not need to be ashamed of the gospel today. We need to be willing to teach it, because there are people out there that are willing to hear it, and there are people willing to obey it. In the book of Romans chapter 10 and the verses 15. Romans chapter 10 and the verse is 15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. There are many men that are willing to go out and preach. They understand what the gospel is all about. They understand that it is the power of God unto salvation. They're willing to teach others. Are you one of those men? Are you one of the ladies, as the Bible teaches also in the book of Matthew chapter 10, Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20, that we're supposed to go out and teach, and as we teach, we baptize and we continue to teach. Are you one of those ladies that are willing to teach the gospel, teach someone what they need to do in order for them to be saved? If not, why not? See, we are all commanded to teach. We're all commanded to preach in a certain manner or in a certain sense, and we need to do those things because this is what God desires of us. Let's put on the whole armor of God. Let's put on the whole armor of God. Faith, which is like a shield, going back to the book of Romans, back to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, once again. We find in verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Having faith in God, having faith in God's word. When you can trust in God, no one can let you down. Amen. No one can let you down. Or should I say, no one can bring you down. Man can let you down all the time. But when you trust in God, everything will be all right. The shield of faith, where you may be able to quench every fiery dart. No matter what comes up against you, you're ready to. That's all you have? Come on, you can do better than that. You're working with Satan. Satan was the great deceiver. He was the great deceiver, the one that deceived Eve in the very beginning. I know you can do better than that. But you know what? Man can't do any better. Why? Because Jesus has already told us that the gates of hell should not prevail against His church. We can stand. And in order to stand, we must remember that we must continue to have faith in God. Amen. Because He will allow us to stand. That's important. Romans 10:17. How is a man going to be able to have faith in God if we do not do our job, if we do not handle our responsibility? Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's a shield. It's a shield. How can I not commit this sin? Bible tells the young people, you know, flee youthful lust. It talks about abstaining from all appearances of evil. That's how you're going to be able to stand. Don't go in that direction. Brother Mark was talking the other day, and he mentioned about, you know, and I don't know who else it was, but they was mentioning about, you know, when you see something coming that you know you're not supposed to be involved with, don't sit there and wait on it. Don't sit there and wait on it. Many people do that. Oh, here's a train coming on the track. I'm just going to go halfway across. I'm just going to sit there and see how close I can let this train get before I can leave. No, you don't play with death like that. Life is too valuable. And that's exactly the way many people do with sin. They play with sin. Amen. The Bible said faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What are you going to do? Are you ready to get dressed? Or are you ready to put this armor on? Or are you still want to run around thinking, I can do it all by myself? He said, every fiery dart. Salvation, which is like a helmet. And again, Paul is not writing to the world here. He's writing to the church. He's writing to Christians. The helmet of salvation, not that we may be saved, but that we may remain saved. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. In verse 17 of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation. Now go ahead and read the other. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We need the helmet of salvation. Can't leave home without it. Oh, I'm saved, and there's nothing I can do in order to lose my salvation. Keep thinking that. Keep thinking that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. We may remain saved. We may continue to do what God wants us to do. Continue to walk the way He wants us to walk. Continue to talk the way He wants us to talk. Live the way He wants us to live. The hope of salvation. That day is coming when the Lord will return. And we hope that we will be in that number that will be lifted up with Him. To hear, enter in, my good and faithful servant. We're hoping that. The hope of salvation. We have that spiritual helmet on. And I was thinking is right. That we may be able to be around the throne throughout all eternity. There's nothing wrong with thinking that. But in order to be able to achieve it, we must live a life that is pleasing unto God. We must be able to live a life that's pleasing to Him. In the word of God, which is your sword. You've done all you can do. You have all this armor on, you know, the spiritual armor, and it's taking care of all that is coming towards you. But now, we need to go out. You're going to have to be able to fight. You can't just sit there and say, you know, I'm going to stay down here and I'm going to stay in this fetal position until the enemy is gone. No, you're going to have to lift your head up and you're going to have to fight. You're going to have to stand tall. Remember again, Jude 3, contend earnestly for the faith. Don't always let the fiery darts come at you and you don't do anything back. You have to be able to stand. Now, there's a time where we just ignore the people that are trying to come at us and we just go about our business because there's other battles that we need to fight. Pick your battles. And when you pick them, you make sure that you're doing what you're supposed to in order for you to come out ahead. But the scriptures teach us the word of God, which is the sword. The sword. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. And we have to be careful when we use this sword because sometimes we mess around and we cut ourselves. You ever been slicing tomatoes and you accidentally cut your finger? Peeling potatoes and you actually, well, sometimes we have potato peelers. Those things are pretty sharp as well. So we have to be careful with everything. We're playing with a case knife one time thinking, oh, this case knife is not, it's a butter knife. Some of y'all don't know what a case knife is. This thing is not sharp. Yeah, it has little ridges on it. Yes, it is sharp. It will cut you. But the word of God, the word of God, the Bible tells us here as we read Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, for the word is quick and powerful, is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow and of the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. This is the word. It cuts going in and it cuts coming out. Think about it. Think about how powerful the Word of God is. It has allowed many of us to obey it because we were cut to the heart, or we were pricked in our hearts, and we realized that the life that we were living was not a life that was pleasing to God. Sometimes, as we preach the Word of God, or we teach the Word of God, we cut ourselves and need to understand that we need to get our lives in order before it is too late. In Acts chapter 2, verse 36 through 37, as Peter was preaching the message there on the day of Pentecost, talking to the men of Judea, he tells them what they had done, told them that they had crucified Jesus Christ. And when these men heard this, the Bible says they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do?" Very simple. When the word cuts you, you need to take care of that wound. You need to do what you know to be right. You need to be obedient to the gospel before it is too late. Before it is too late. Well, now that we have the armor on, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? There are many people, when they put something on, they forget something. When they get ready to leave the house, again, they forget something. I got everything on. What's lacking? From head to foot, what's lacking? We got the helmet on. We have the breastplate on. We have the shield. We have our feet taken care of. We have the faith. We have the truth. We have all of this. But what am I lacking? We're lacking one important ingredient. I don't care how high you get in life. I don't care how low you get in life. It comes back to a level of prayer, communicating with God. Amen. Not just for selves, but for others as well. Going back to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, prayer. The means by which we remain watchful. A lot of times, Lord, I'm praying that I don't come up against anything today that I cannot handle. And it's true. You're not going to come up against anything you can't handle because you have faith in God. You have the truth and you don't have anything to worry about. But he says here, as we think about what Paul is saying in Ephesians chapter 6, looking at verse 18, he says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Not just for yourselves, but you're watching for others as well, as we pray for the elders, that not only do they watch after our souls, but they also watch it at their own. Amen. See, these things are important. And it says in verse 19, "And for me," not just pray for self and others, but pray for me, he says, "that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." This is what Paul is telling them here. When you put the whole armor of God on, do not forget to pray and watch.
Amen.
Pray and watch. See what you're going to come up against on today. Remember, our prayers are not heard, or our prayers are not answered by God when we're living a life of sin and we're talking to Him without getting those things right. Let's keep our lives the way God would have them. In the book of Matthew chapter 26, verse 41, as we look at a prayer, talks about our Lord and our Savior, as He talks about praying here, 26:41. He tells them as he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." He's telling them, watch and pray. The enemy is around the corner. Watch and pray. And the same thing Paul has said. The enemy is around the corner. Watch and pray. And a lot of times he's not around the corner. He's in your face. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You know, you hear people always saying, "Man, when my whole life flashed before my eyes." You get in a bad accident and people say, man, I hope that person prayed right before they died or this, that, and the other. I'm going to tell you from experience now, when I totaled out one of my trucks, prayer wasn't on my mind. Prayer wasn't on my mind. The only thing was on my mind, ooh, I'm getting ready to hit that car. Had my seatbelt on so I couldn't get in the fetal position. I'm getting ready to hit that car. So we need to hope that our life is in order before we get in a situation like that because we may not get out of it. Amen. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Pray before you leave the house. How about that? Pray as you're riding down the road before you get into the accident. How about that? So watch and pray. Watch and pray. The enemy's out there. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19 through 20. We just read that. Watch and pray. Not only pray for self, but pray for others. Pray that men may be standing boldly, proclaiming the word of God in confidence that the word is true. And that others may hear what is being said. And they may obey before it's too late. Now, just like any examination, sometimes we have to go get checkups. And we have to check out certain areas. Maybe it's just the mind. Maybe it's just the eyes. Maybe it's just the ears. Maybe it's just the mouth. Maybe something else is ailing you and you need to get that area checked out. And we'll do that from time to time. But I believe we've gone through a thorough examination to see how we're supposed to live our life, to see whether or not we're in the faith. How many of you fail? No one is going to raise their hand. But you know who knows? The great physician. Amen. He knows. He knows. Because as we're examining ourselves, he's examining us as well. Let's do what's right. If you're here and you're not a child of God and you want to become one, the opportunity is given to you. To come forth, make the confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Have your sins washed away in a watery grave of baptism. Coming in contact with the blood right there in that water. There's nothing magical about the water, but the blood is there. You cannot see it, but it's there. Just like this spiritual armor that we just talked about putting on. You can't see it, but it needs to be there in order to stand against the wiles of the devil. Don't let anything nor nothing or anybody keep you away from serving God. Answer the gospel call on today. Maybe you're here and you're straight away from the fold and you're ready to come back. Now is the time. For tomorrow is not promised unto us. James says your life is but a vapor that appeared for a little time and then vanisheth away. If you're here and you're subject to an invitation, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing.